Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Our guest today is old friend Evie Lorgan. Evie has a lot of information to share. We've been talking back and forth about some of the subject matter. I think you'll find some of this material interesting. It's very relevant and it's timely. So, without any further ado, Evie, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. It's always great to talk to you because we could talk about so many things on so many levels, because of our history and research and the things that happen in our actually in our private lives with people who have come to us privately who have not shared their stories publicly, which really give us, I think, deeper insights into the quote phenomenon of what we've talked about, which really has expanded since the old days. Remember in the old days that, well, it was the UFO phenomenon, and then it was UFO encounters, and then it was ET visitations and abductions, and then there were crop circles, and then there were channelings, and then there were this, and then pretty soon this big thing is all part of, it seems like, the same root that got a social movement going that I think people needed to talk about that seemed to have the root behind the whole UFO spooky X-file phenomenon that involved visitations and contact and abductions and MyLabs and anomalous phenomena in many different ways. But at the same time, I guess I have some, I don't want to say reservations or frustrations with how to present these things in a way that would be safe and not give the wrong impression to groups who have, let's say, black and white views of this phenomena of alien abductions, of contactees, abductees, the military, the government, what alien group. And doing this in such a way that they have more information to make more nuanced abilities to understand the phenomena in such a way that they don't become dangerous people and groups and agendas that would demonize or politicize or cause actually problems for innocent people, basically, or innocent experiencers and abductees and people who've experienced many different factors of this phenomena, including military people, or alphabet soup agency people, or different families. So I find it sometimes difficult to articulate and tell certain things that I know that are actually a problem. And that I could see that they're a problem for society and for the world and for where we're going, and that we're also perceived as a problem years ago by certain private groups. So just to kind of tell you a story, I actually did a show with another podcaster out of the UK where I talked about some of my own experiences. And as part of this interview, we were talking about the book The Love Bite, which is about how aliens orchestrate or interfere or set people up in relationships where there's a dynamic of a love obsession and then a breaking away and, emotional yearning and chaos and drama and energy harvesting. So as a part of this interview, he said, well, what's one really good case in The Love Bite about? And like, this was many years ago, right? It was like the year 2000 when that book came out. So a lot of the cases were from basically the 90s that had come to our attention.
What book
So,
are you referencing? What case study?
The Love Bite. Okay, so the Love Bite book, which of course you've been part of because you were part of the research. So he asked me about, well, what's a really good case to talk about so that people who are not familiar with, whoa, so the aliens are not only, visiting people, or abducting or doing whatever, but they're like manipulating and setting up relationships and love obsessions and this weird twin flame thing. And like, wait a minute. So I said, check out the book called the case study, which was Mia and the FBI agent named Jordan. So that is a case history in The Love Bite, which was actually taken from Mia Adams actually wrote her own book years ago in the 90s called The Exiles about her own alien abduction experience. And some of the
Cycles, the X
weird,
cycles.
yeah, or something like that. It's a hard word to, anyway. So yeah, she had this military component in her experiences. And so at the time, and this was in the 90s, she became frustrated because she wanted to see some of the major researchers who worked with alien abductions at the time, which was like Bud Hopkins was one of them. And but then he wouldn't see her. He didn't want to take her case because of this quote military component involved an FBI agent, which is interesting because the entire case that Bud Hopkins did of the Linda Cortile case in Witnessed, the entire book involved her encounters with FBI agents who actually abducted her and witnessed like a major abduction with a VIP from another country. So anyway, I guess I told him that is a very good case study to look at because there's many angles to that case history that tells us about a lot of things that are happening within the phenomena. So it's not an either-or situation. It's so there's really aliens doing things, and then there's really military and FBI and these alphabet soup agencies who may interfere, observe, or know about beforehand who these abductees are and how they're making these assumptions or beliefs based on their intel. Oh, that these people are hybrids. These people are alien-human hybrids, and they need to neutralize them from whatever they're talking about publicly when they start creating these UFO alien groups, study groups, or social networking groups. So that was the case with Mia Adams. He was actually sent in to neutralize her, not to kill her, but to neutralize maybe the more public social attention that she was bringing to the phenomena and her own experiences back in the day in the 90s. So it all unfolded as a kind of a love obsession on his part with her, and he was 17 years younger than she was, but she was still a very good-looking woman. He couldn't, I don't think he could really understand why he just had such a strong feelings, and it all unfolded in the book, where he realized that he had abduction experiences as a child, and he was actually engineered to get into the FBI, which is actually common, by the way, involved in other cases. So anyway, it was the genetic, I would say a type of genetic modification that took place with when Mia got abducted at age 17, had some of her ovum removed from her ovary to be used in an in vitro fertilization with two different parents to be put inside another woman to carry the pregnancy of two different mothers and fathers of autosomal DNA, plus the egg that it was implanted in, which was her egg from her ovaries that contained her mitochondrial DNA of the original mother, and then implanted in another woman's womb. And so Jordan was basically the child of this particular artificial insemination project. All right. So the aliens wanted to study this phenomenon of non-tangible energy fields. And how, if someone had a particular connection, probably genetically, like mitochondrial DNA, for example, how could that be responsible for a stronger social or love connection? Or basically, you just have more feelings and more of a connection with someone that you're connected to on this subtle level of energy and mitochondria. So basically, the FBI people found out that this was like, amoral, because basically it's a son who's basically having love obsession with his like mother, and then when they figured it out, they're trying to actually stop what the aliens were doing because they felt to have some kind of moral, and this is wrong that the alien greys are doing this and they're having a problem with it. So apparently, as the story proceeded, you have to read it in the Love Bite, and I want to make a point here is that. Apparently, the FBI and the Department of Navy, which was one of the organizations that they mentioned, had basically the heads up for years, knowing about not only the reptilian involvement and the genetic, they're trying to genetically modify and hybridize humans with reptilians, which is dangerous to the human race. They saw that as a threat, okay? And then they also knew that the alien grays, because they are more genetically similar to humans, they were easier to genetically fuse with some humans to make alien gray human hybrids. And that in the future, their agenda was to make more and more of these alien human hybrids of the gray genetics to become leaders in the future to basically take control for a more alien gray agenda for human, for Earth. And so groups even then and back in the 90s even knew that, oh, wait a minute, this is a problem for the human race. We need to intervene. We need to see that, oh, there's these abductees who are being abducted by grays and reptilians and God knows whoever, and that they're changing them or they're creating hybrids. And so they're wanting to keep an eye on them and then neutralize them. And so the question is like, well, were they trying to neutralize the belief systems that these people were having and promoting in these UFO contactee groups, for example, and what they're saying about their alien, well, their ET channeling guides and how wonderful they are and how they healed me and how, oh, it's the military who's bad and the humans are bad and the aliens are good. And then you get all these stories and all these viewpoints, which Barbara Bartholik, as we know, she got the whole plethora of, let's say, if we have a deck of cards, 52 cards in a deck, and we lay them all out. And each card is a different type of program or agenda or experiment. And it can go from benevolent, helping, healing, wonderful, there's no problem, there's no trauma, to the other end of the spectrum, which would be like trauma. They're doing these horrible love bites and they're torturing you and giving you physical pain, and then they're giving you cancer, and then you die, and then, ruining your life. And so I remember Barbara saying to me, even after she died, by the way, she said, "Honey, you just have to tell all the cards on the table. You must put all the cards on the table to let them know the whole thing." And so I guess the social media now is very dominated by different perspectives. And since, quote, when we were early researchers, they seem to be more research oriented and less experience or dominated. But I think there is a change where it's like they're all bad, or they're all good and we're evolving and they're upgrading us and we're going to ascend. And, it's really the bad, evil government humans who are ruining the planet, and they are. But there's also the thing about, well, who's manipulating them at the top anyway that has created the problem in the first place that is very deceptive and can manipulate our perception. And manipulate our perception, which happens in our events, in our abductions as well, and set us up in love bites so that all these things happen. And so it's really difficult to bring everything out on the table because people are set in their beliefs of, well, if my experience was this, then I'm gonna go with, well, just what my experience is. That, well, if they were good to me and they healed me, they must be all good. And whoever's talking about them being bad, well, that's wrong. Or whatever. So I could see the danger in what they're doing. And let's say we were discussing this before on the show, before we did the show, that I was noticing in certain social media, YouTube channels even, that there's like a PR campaign going on, which I think is done through artificial intelligence for the grays to be perceived as these benevolent beings who are really, into higher frequency consciousness, and they're really, Christ consciousness, and they try to present the person in the story, which actually has a similar plot. It's just like a program, and they change like the character, but it's basically the same, where they encounter an alien gray in a particular circumstance physically, and then this person could be, it was in stories that I heard on this same channel. I'm not going to name the channel. I don't want to badmouth them, but it made the experiencer who met the alien be kind of like a dumb older male who just really wasn't with it emotionally. And they didn't really know how to deal with all their issues and see the connections between their emotions and spirituality and religion and higher consciousness and this and that, and how the gray really helped clarify things about Jesus and Christ consciousness, and how they really were basically dumb and emotionally stupid, and how they really needed to perceive aliens as being these higher frequency density beings of Christ consciousness. And if they just follow them, everything will be fine and wonderful, and they'll see how wonderful everything is and how wonderful these grays are. and how wrong the religion is, and how wrong the Bible is, or how wrong Western medicine is, or whatever the person is in the story. They try to make them look like they're just a little bit stupid, you know? And in reality, I'm like, whoa, this is an alien gray PR campaign done through artificial intelligence, and they just create a story, change the characters, change a little this and that, and it was always the same kind of PR campaign. And so I was actually furious when I saw what was really being done. And if I hadn't seen more than one YouTube story of by the same channel, I would have just thought, oh, well, maybe this really happened, and this person really did encounter an alien gray physically on the side of the road, and he was injured, and he had to take care of him, some whatever story. But in reality, that doesn't happen very often. It usually, when we experience them, it's within an abduction, visitation, or a lucid dream, or we don't always have control over how we're perceiving, or even what we're perceiving sometimes. And we don't have control over the entire situation. It's always under what they want us to perceive. And if we have too much lucidity and power, actually, a lot of times they get afraid and they just leave. So I don't know if you've found that out with people that you've talked to, but I was just kind of thinking about this and seeing what they're doing to people and how they're causing people to believe things that I think might be manipulations of perception, or they want us to carry out a particular social media viewpoint or political agenda or social movement, or what they're thinking is awakening consciousness. And that's part of this bigger agenda that has, let's say, 52 cards and 52 different programs. Some are good, some are bad, some are anything in between. And how to present this in a way that tells the whole truth, but doesn't basically demonize abductees or experiencers to be like, oh, we're problems, you know, who are presenting things falsely because the aliens are manipulating us, because that's not always the case. So you see, I was just, I don't know, just thinking about that, like how can we present this in a way that people aren't at each other's throats, or prematurely judging people wrongly or in a harmful way, but still seeing these things clearly in a way to know if there really is a threat, how are we going to intervene on behalf of truthful perception so that we can stop that process, stop the manipulation of perception process, and redirect with, let's say, a higher cause for peace and true, I don't even want to call it evolution. Let's just say a maturing wisdom for peace, you know?
Remember the book that Jacques Vallée wrote? He wrote a book about UFO cults, actually, years ago. I don't agree with a lot of things that Vallée says. He's proved himself to be wrong in a number of issues. He tried to debunk Roswell. He was wrong about Bob Lazar, just saying he was subjected to some mind control, ergo. We have to be careful about everything he says, which is nonsense. And Lazar fits into a much larger pattern. But back to his book about UFO cults, he talked about the inherent dangers of these aliens of various stripes using these UFO cults, which take on many forms these days, especially with social media, as a conduit, a means to put out certain types of, as you say, alien propaganda, a pacifying type of program. And we definitely see that to this day. What you describe are these AI-generated stories, through data mining, the AI programs. You give them a few parameters to work with, a old, befuddled, confused white male who's lost in life and needs some guidance. And then along comes an ET sitting on the porch and he's pondering life and et cetera, et cetera. And then out of nowhere, he has this mystical religious almost experience with this benevolent, omniscient gray, right? So a lot of these stories are tailored in that vein. And there definitely is a danger as far as misleading large segments of society, because you and I, we're from an era where we were We were archivists, we were researchers, we were investigators. We took kind of an old school mentality, still do, as far as the investigations are concerned. Whereas the younger generations, because all they really know is the internet, social media, surfing the web, etc., and they simply don't have the background. They're gonna go, and the way the algorithms are set up, and increasingly AI dominated, increasingly able to detect our thoughts, our our predilections, our predispositions, our biases. And so we get all these recommendations. Well, not we in our example, but people out there, they get all these recommendations and they just go from one site to another. And then they watch these AI generated and listen to these AI generated stories. And it's a form of confirmation bias. They may already feel, because of the pre-manipulation, if that's proper English, from the ETs themselves, they may already be thinking along these lines, right? And then suddenly they come across these videos that tell these AI-generated stories, and it's a form of confirmation bias. We see the same thing in the cryptid field. There are a number of YouTube channels that rely on AI-generated stories about cryptids, about dogmen, about Bigfoot, what have you. And again, it's a process of data mining. And the person wanting to make the video, I don't know how to do it, I'm just guessing, but probably along the lines of giving it a few parameters, a basic outline of the story, and then, the terrain, the locale, the time of day, time of night, what have you. And then it'll spin out this whole story, complete with artwork, by the way. So, yeah, people really have to be careful about the kind of information that they're taking on board. And about the hybridization issue also, I just saw a video. It showed up on my news feed. I think it was on Facebook somewhere, but there was a blonde-haired news presenter. I forget what mainstream station she was on, but as she was talking, it seems as if her neck was getting more elongated, and all this weird musculature was showing up on her chest, or upper chest and her neck area. Clearly, she was some kind of a hybrid of some kind, and it relates to what we're talking about. David Jacobs' book, his hypothesis, embodied in the book The Threat, about these hybrids eventually being used to supplant humanity, right? And we already see that happening. Helga Moro, her dad worked to integrate human-looking ETs into society, and this was like in the 60s and the 70s that this was going on. And then some of the people that I spoke with, one gal in particular, she was forced to help train and integrate human-looking hybrids into society. And he would get the feeling when one was about to appear. And there was one hybrid in particular that was a psychopath and would rape her frequently. It would just suddenly manifest in her home and start yelling and screaming at her and viciously attack her. And that was one end of the hybrid spectrum. The other end of the hybrid spectrum that she was exposed to were these hybrids of various ages that were living together. And she had to go into their homes and teach them how to run a household. And she'd open the fridge and she'd find pots and pans in there. She goes, No, this is not how you do it, right? She'd have to take them to stores so they could learn how to purchase items and get change back, right? So all these simple things that we wouldn't give a second thought to, she was forced by the aliens to teach these hybrids. So by this point in time, I would say these hybrids are everywhere, and that runs in parallel also with the long-term genetic hybridization. And now we have this AI nanotech overlay. Now more than ever, we're seeing more and more people taken up as hosts that are hosts for one or more demonic, essentially, entities. I don't think we've seen a time in our recorded history when there are more people taken up as hosts, more people manipulated by these malevolent entities, largely unseen. But it depends on what the person is going through. If they're going to be on meth or speed, the aliens and the different entities will show up to them because, they're able to see by that point into the entity frequency bandwidth, and they don't care if they appear to make them more paranoid because who's going to believe the guy anyway, right? In our example. So it's an example of an alien created society, for lack of a better term. The symbology, the modes of thought, the behaviors, so much of that has been created by these non-human intelligences that have a malevolent purpose. And so it makes perfect sense that they would create these ever-growing pockets of essentially pacified people who fall for the alien propaganda. In the old days, they would do this to us in our astral dreamscape, or they would abduct us physically and then show us things on the craft and try to either impose guilt or fear or shame or the sort of wonder within us. The praying mantises are really good at that, as you know. They're very good at love bombing people and then blasting people with this sense of omniscience. Oh, these praying mantises are so wise and so benevolent and so loving. But that in itself is a form of mind control. They're love bombing these people, right? I mean, to me, it's a big overgrown praying mantis. I'm not going to ascribe any kind of noble, divine virtues to it, right? So, but that's just me. A lot of other people feel differently. A lot of people feel quite attached to praying mantises in particular and other types of beings. And I'm not being critical of them. This is just an observation. For all I know, and it certainly is within the realm of possibility, that some of these praying mantis beings and other types of entities are actually trying to help people in some way. But I'm looking at this from a zoomed out perspective, the overall impact it's having on the human race, right? Not just within the confines of the abductee, contactee community, but how it's affecting the entire species, all of humanity. And just look at the kind of mess we find ourselves in. And also, I'd like to turn it over to you. Once again, we're having the skies of Europe this time inundated by these so-called drones, which are not drones. They're actually advanced craft of some kind, probably non-human origin. And there's a lot of hysteria almost about the ingress of this Atlas 3i craft that's coming in. A lot of speculation about that. So the subject is very much in the forefront of a lot of people's minds. And then we recently had this latest committee again about UAP hearings and whistleblower testimony, what have you. So we're going through, or had gone through recently, another round of that. So definitely there are efforts to manipulate the public at large, the perception of the subject, as well as certain demographics, elements within the research community or the experiencer community to make them feel or think a certain way about this. So, yeah, I'll just turn it over to you.
Yeah, that reminds me of something I heard on another podcast. It was actually a Christian kind of a researcher who was into a lot of different things. I won't mention the name, but he actually saw a craft. I don't know, early October in his area. So I don't know what state it is. But it was a craft that was the cube shape type, and it wasn't really high up. I mean, it was relatively close. And I think someone else actually saw it too, so he wasn't the only one. But he went on to say that in his belief, because he knows a lot of military groups and covert this and that, and he claims to have a lot of insight based on his, Christian perspective, and but he said that these ships show up. I'm not saying that this is true. This is what he said. He said these kinds of cube ships show up before, quote, carnage. And I thought about that and I thought, wait a minute, I don't know if there's any carnage going on in his area, but I remember what Barbara Bartholak had shared based on what other people had reported to her. I don't know if it was who it was, but the globe ships. and how I don't know if this was even in old ancient history, maybe an artwork where they would show up on battlefields to take up the souls of these people after carnage is taking place in wars. So I don't know if there's any kinds of ships. Anyway, this man who saw the cube-shaped ship said that these are actually very, very ancient. They're not human-made. They're very ancient ET, whatever they are, and they're there before, quote, carnage. So they must be feeding on the energies, or I don't know whether or not they're trying to create it or what. But that was interesting, and I don't know about the Three-Eye Atlas because I haven't really kept in the loop about it. There's so many different opinions. It's obviously intelligently controlled to be perceived that way, but who it is, I don't know. But there was a, I think it's a French remote viewer named Sebastian Martin. I don't know if I sent you the link. My sister sent it to me, and it was about a 20-minute clip on his remote viewing of him. I don't know, and probably a group of remote viewers who remote viewed that Atlas ship thing, and then talked to a group of aliens who were inside of it, who were, I guess, part of it. And I really couldn't get the whole thing, but he did mention the Galactic Federation and the Galactic Alliance, and also an enemy Draco type of race that was considered dangerous and in opposition to this particular group. And that, oh, I don't know if it was, he was remote viewing this group that they saw holographically around some kind of conference table, but he mentioned something about how what was their agenda to come and pick up the star seeds or something. And I'm like, what? You know, I don't know about that. But, you know, anytime they're coming to pick
There's
people up.
almost a rapture element to that.
Yeah, it sounds like rapture, sounds like the great cattle drive in the sky kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, I just don't know. I'm not getting anything on that. And I.
Barbie called it the cattle cars.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. Or they, as we get more and more chaos and possibility towards, you know, I hate even using the term with the nuclear war and all that, but as we get closer and closer to that possibility of like major mayhem and major death, then they could show up for whatever reason, depending on the group or what, you know? So your guess is as good as mine, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, in the run-up to World War II and during World War II, the skies of the world were inundated with what we would call UFO reports. The term Foo Fighters is actually a generic term. It not only described lighted objects, what some describe as orbs, but also there were structured metallic craft that were seen. They were observing the warfare that was going on. And I'm satisfied at some level that these non-human intelligences, working through their hybridized proxies here on the surface, fomented these wars. And as you alluded to earlier, some of these craft, the spherical craft in particular, they're notorious for showing up over battlefields and what have you. And Barbie called those sphere-shaped craft the soul repositories. And the aforementioned Helga Morrow had a near-death experience, and she was taken on board one of those spherical craft by this demonic entity.